Okay, Lord bless each and every one of you, all of y'all, all huge amount of people we got in here today. Right. Pack them in, be careful, 6 foot distancing. We got to keep this thing, going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Lord bless you. We're going to start today again on the book of Revelation. Thank you all for tuning in and being patient until this thing gets to where they start releasing a little bit. If everybody start doing right, maybe in another month we can get 50 people in here the way they're talking about it. So let's just keep each other in prayers. Keep Brother Jewel in prayer. He had a stroke Friday, I guess it was, and he's doing a whole lot better, they said, in the hospital. But he's still got to go through therapy. And then also, Brother Colley's stepbrothers got the virus down in Atlanta, so we need to remember them in prayer. So, so now we were back here in Sardis, talking about the Sardisian church age, which would be the church age of Martin Luther, and how we come up through justification. And we showed how each characteristics of each age, has to fit, the messenger has to fit that age, and also the people and the message have to fit what's going on. Because God wrote this for us to read, and now the people of Philadelphia in church age, probably around John Wesley's time, I don't know that they read the Bible, which the Bible was beginning to come out then. In Luther's day, Wesley, the Bible was pretty much already written, King James Version and all that. And it was distributed for them to read, but I don't know that the people sitting in his congregation, I don't even know if John Wesley knew he was that angel.
Yeah.
But because of the prophet coming in the end time and looking back to that, and God showing him who each angel was,
right,
he could say that was John Wesley. Then when we look at the message that John Wesley preached, we see that it fits perfectly. Same way with back here in the Sardisian church age for Luther, coming out of the Catholic Church and protesting the Catholic Church, starting the Protestant movement. And then it moves over into the Wesleyan movement or the Methodist movement. And just to give you a little background about John Wesley, is the reason they're called Methodists is because they had a method of worship. I would say Martin Luther probably brought a little more Catholicism in, because he didn't come all the way out of the Catholic Church, but he did come to a place to where the just shall live by faith, and he was real happy about that. So then you can see that when John Wesley comes in, John Wesley, see, you could be Martin Luther and smoke a pipe and drink a beer. Of course, that sounds horrible to us, but you got to remember, Germans, even now, Germans drink beer like we drink tea. They drink it with a meal, they drink it warm, they drink it all the time, and it really doesn't make them inebriated because they're so much used to it. Same with Italy. Italy drinks a lot of wine. So it's just that we take it to the things that happen to us that we shouldn't do that's attached to it. So Martin Luther was used to doing these things, but now God revealed to him the just shall live by faith. And that was what God was happy with at the moment. He wasn't happy with their drinking and their smoking, but he was happy with what he had at the time. Because he knew Martin Luther had, this much light. Then John Wesley's got this much light. So when John Wesley comes on the scene, God gives him a revelation of holiness. Alright? And a method of worship. If you find you an old Methodist, if you go to a Methodist church, don't steal their hymn book, but if you'll read in it, it'll tell you all about John Wesley and all about the method of worship and how that you're supposed to come in and you do this and then you do this and then you take up the offering, just like what Brother Brandon would tell us to do, basically in this time. But he was beginning through John Wesley to to show sanctification, which is cleaned and set aside for service for us. But it was his baptism of the Holy Ghost that he could see that those things were going out of his life. Everybody got that? And also this movement is going to bring another thing. It's going to bring the great missionary age where they go out. Because Martin Luther wasn't much of a missionary. He was kind of stayed right there in Germany. But now you got John Wesley, which is, he's in England, I would assume. And then he goes and he actually sails to Georgia. If you'll read your history, Fort Oglethorpe is where he landed, and there was a fort there, so being named Fort Oglethorpe. And he was going to go there to take the Indians, the Creeks and the Creek Indians and the Cherokee and all the different Indians, he was going to go over there and missionary to them. But on his way over there, they got caught in a storm and all these things happened. But he saw a group of people called the Moravians, and they were, didn't bother them at all. They were like, they were back in the boat praying and worshiping the Lord. And he kind of got attached to that. Now, you don't hear a lot about the Moravians after that because that wasn't the movement of God at the time. The movement of God was in John Wesley, but he had to come through, just like we're talking about upstairs. John Wesley had to come through a journey. He had to come all the way over here to Georgia to learn that he wasn't born again.
Yeah.
He had to get back in that boat, go back to England, and found God over there in England, got born again, and then he started proclaiming his message. So, but what happened though, look how he moved it. It was considered the great missionary age. There was a lot of missionaries come from John Wesley and the Wesleyan movement, or the Methodist movement. Because it was a method of worship. Now you come in a church and you knew how to worship. And that's the same way with Methodists. You go to every Methodist church and usually they're basically the same. But now what happened? Before we read this, what happened? What happened in every age? God said, this is what I want you to do. And they said, okay, we'll do this. But now remember, God says plus. Because God keeps moving.
Right.
So the Methodists said, like the Lutherans said, this is it. We're not going any further. We don't believe that Methodist movement. We're still going to do what our leader said, which in part they were true, but their attitude was they had it all.
Yeah.
So the Methodists the same way. Even and then when John Wesley went off the scene there and the church age ended in about 1906. Now, he died way back before then. But that movement continued on, and then they became so staunch and so methodical. Thank you. Methodical in their worship. Then it became almost just like the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
You walk in, you do your thing, you do your Hail Marys. So they walk in, they sing three songs, they take up the offering, the preacher preaches the sermon, they have an altar call. And that's it. So God said there's more to it than this.
Yes.
So I'm going to move on. You can stay there. I am with you to this degree right here. Right here. Mm-hmm. But now, when I'm moving on to the next phase, when I'm moving to the next phase, you're not moving. But remember, don't ever forget, God was truly pleased. And John Wesley, Martin Luther, all these people right here had the same baptism of the Holy Ghost that you have.
Yes.
Excuse me, the same baptism of the Holy Ghost Paul had.
Right.
It was just degrees that each one took the Word of God, and they, like I said before, John Wesley or Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. That was a great thing because you know what? You got to be the same way. You got the just or the justified. You and I have to live by faith when we begin our Christian journey, and even to the end of our Christian journey, we still got to have faith. Still, so the faith doesn't leave. And then when Martin Luther looked at that and said, the just shall live by faith, he told his people, we got to start living by faith. Forget about what the Catholic Church says. about penance and doing these novenas and praying to dead saints. We got Jesus Christ we need to pray to. And we got all these things that he brought them out of. But he didn't bring everything. When he came out, though, he brought, remember we were talking about, you got a name that you're living by, but you're dead. He continued to bring the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism and all these different things. He kept bringing them with. They all kept bringing them with them. God didn't like that. But God's got grace.
Yes.
Knowing that this end time would come and that we could look back and build off of that. Same way with Abraham. Abram made a lot of mistakes. Abraham made some mistakes. And you and I are going to make some mistakes.
Yeah.
But it's the journey that we're in and the continuation of the journey. We'll talk about it later on this evening, afternoon. So let's get into this. And to the angel, and that word angel means messenger. And to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write. Now look, this is not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Okay? This is not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is the church at Philippi, or over in Asia, there was a place called Philadelphia. If you'll read your church age book, you'll know that. All right? These things saith he that is holy. Now, see, remember, he's requiring them now to be holy. He's requiring us to be holy. He required in Abram's journey and sanctification to become more holy than he was when he first started. Same way with you and I. He that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Brother Brown talks about this being the open door. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Now, what is that open door? That open door is that God opened the door to the world because we've got to, well, let's just be truthful. Columba probably spent 99% of his time on one island in one nation.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot of missionary work going out during this time. Wasn't here, maybe a little bit more with Paul. But Martin Luther, a little bit more. But John Wesley, you come up, you got more horses, carriages. We're heading into the age of big boats, cars, airplanes. You understand what I'm saying? So people can missionary more. I mean, you can talk about the trip that Luther took, I mean, Wesley took to America. It took like a month almost to get there.
Yeah.
Days. I mean, like 3 weeks to get to America from England on one boat. But God helped man make better boats. Engines became, in here, engines, you know, diesel and gas-powered engines. So what he done is he opened the door to the world, and I just want to say this, not belittling Martin Luther, but Martin Luther's message to the world wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of loose, you know, it's okay to do this, but when you take John Wesley, when God sent him out, John Wesley was, look, you got to be holy, we got to dress right, we don't need to be drinking alcohol, we don't need to be smoking, we need to straighten ourselves up and be right and try to live the best way we can, because he quotes scripture. God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. Any man that puts something in their body, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, and whatever you put in it, that's what you get out of it, right?
Yes.
So to me, that would have been better out into the world, because you're trying to convert, and that's God's plan, and it's perfect. He knew that. That's the way it's going to be. It's perfect. So I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. So no man came in and shut the door, except when they started making creeds and dogmas. They shut the door.
Yeah.
They didn't shut God's door to the nations. No, it was still open. Thou hast a little strength. What? A little more holiness, a little more closer walk with God, and hast kept my word. So he's coming more toward the word of God. Like I said, we're John Wesley could read that he even, I think it's misrepresented sometimes. Some people say coffee, but if you'll look back, he was an Englishman. So they drank tea, and they said tea had all these different good properties and all this stuff. Well, John Wesley's like, y'all are spending hours a day sitting around drinking tea when it has no value to it. Now, he didn't say it didn't have any nutritional value. They were just sitting around drinking their tea and In other words, they weren't worshiping God. They were trying to, you know, trying to have these social events.
Yeah.
And everybody gets around drinking tea and don't talk about the Word of God. He wanted them to talk about the Word of God. I don't think it was the physical tea or the physical coffee. It's what time you do with it. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I drink coffee all day. But do I just sit down for an hour and just drink coffee and don't think about nothing else? You know, that's... That's the way I look at it. Because you have a little strength and have kept my word and has not denied my name. So they still believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are, remember, they are still baptizing in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost because they don't know any better. They're still taking the Trinitarian doctrine to the world. But you know what? I want to say this. God's okay with that in that time. He's not okay with it now. Because the full word's been open. Because remember, he says, has kept my word and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Or in other words, say they are Christians and are not, and do lie. I have somewhat against them. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. Because what's going to happen in Martin Luther's time, or John Wesley's time here that we're talking about, you see these people, now they didn't physically do that, but you see when the end time comes and all these people are brought up in judgment, there's going to be a group of people in John Wesley's time that's going to reject, that had rejected his message. And they're going to have to bow down. Same way with all of us. They're going to bow down to the bride. The bride's the one that does the judging.
Yeah.
Right? And to know that I have loved thee. He had loved them. They could have loved him.
Yeah.
But he's going to show the separation. I loved Martin Luther, John Wesley. I loved you people. And I gave you the new birth. You had faith. But there's a group of people that didn't believe it. Because you got all your fanaticism and everything. Even in the message you got fanaticism. Yeah. Because look, it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. So John Wesley is bringing a little more of the word to light. Because now you got it in print form and they can sit and talk about the Bible. And not just what they were depending on a long time ago during the Columbus time is, the priest would come up in the Catholic Church and he'd speak Latin. He'd read out of the Latin Vulgate, which was the Bible, but you didn't understand what. And there was no interpretation. Whatever they said, that's what you did. So Martin Luther, that's when he started pulling away and said, nah, that's not exactly the way it's supposed to be. So when the Bibles began to be printed, man could look down with their own eyes and read the Bible and keep the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. In other words, from the hour of what? From the hour of trials, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now remember, as they go through this missionary age, then it's not just England, it's not just Scotland, it's not just Ireland, it's not just Germany, it's not just where these three messengers were. Now God has sent these messengers out into the world.
Yeah.
So the whole world, there's going to be a group of people, the great tempter, the guy that tempts you, it's the same one that tempted them, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. It's going to try me and you, just like it tried them. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you've got. In other words, whatever you got, hang on to it.
Yes.
Whatever you got, hang on to it. That no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar. Now that's not a pillow. That's a pillar. You know what a pillar is? This is the pillar. This is help holding the building up. So the people were help holding the Word of God up, or the temple of God. Where's the temple of God?
Yes.
Not brick and mortar and stone. Right here's the temple of God. So in other words, the way I see it, John Wesley was more staunch in the Word of God, and he towed the line. And as the Bible, Brother Brown quotes many times about him being a firebrand snatched out of the fire. In other words, he was a hot coal. He was a fireball. He preached, I can't remember, you read it, there's a phenomenal amount of sermons he preached in his lifetime. He would preach 6 sermons a day. Because he'd get on his horse and he'd go preach in this town. He'd get on his horse and he'd go preach in that town. Or he'd go from that town to another town. Why? Because it's a missionary age. And remember the one time when the horse broke his leg? You're usually supposed to kill a horse. If it breaks his leg, it can't get over because there's so much weight on it. But he gets down, prays for the horse, knows he can't walk where he's going. He's in a desperate situation. He said, God, I need you to heal this horse. And he just spoke to the horse. The horse stood up. He jumped on it and rode it forever and ever, I guess. But that was God showing that he was making first Martin Luther, first John Wesley, and then everybody behind that, he was making them pillars in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, not Jerusalem over there, physical Jerusalem overseas, the New Jerusalem. What is the New Jerusalem? It's the mother of us all. It's that new city that we have, that Abraham was looking for, but not the physical city, which cometh down out of heaven. Because so Jerusalem over there didn't come down out of heaven. But the new city is going to come down out of heaven, according to Revelation 20 through 22, isn't there? From my God. And I will write upon him my new name. What? Christian. Whatever you want to call it. You know, people talk about the new name. I don't worry about that. I've got a new name. Abraham got a new name. Abram got a new name. It's Abraham. All right. You got a new name from sinner to Christian. All right. So I'm not worried about what we're going to be called over there, because you know what? When we go through the glorified body, our brains will be unlimited and we'll be able to know each other. The Bible says as we are.
Amen.
So I'm not worried about that. I got to get to that new name first.
Yes.
I believe the new name you got to get up in here. So you're they couldn't reach it, because he said, I will write upon him my new name. Right? So let's let the I do it. Let's let the I am write that name for us. Right? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Because see, we have to take Martin Luther plus. We have to take John Wesley plus. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Now we're down here at the Laodicean church age. We've got to take that Laodicean church age plus, because there's a group of people come out. Because remember, Brother Brown said a bride was never in an age.
Right.
So, but they got the characteristics of the age, yes, because that's what God wrote about. And their messenger. But here we go now, and we're going to read this, and then we'll do it next Sunday. We'll go on upstairs. And to the angel or messenger of the church of the Laodicean, right, these things saith the Amen. Now look, this is coming to the finality. There's no more church age.
Right.
No more church age after this one. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now I'll just give you a little background on that. God never had a beginning. God never was a creation. He was a creator. But the beginning of the creation of God.
Yes.
Everybody got that? You read it like that. The beginning of the creation of God. All right? Now, what is that beginning of the creation? You say, well, that was way back yonder when. That was okay, because that was temporary back in Genesis 1.
Right.
God said, let there be light. But Genesis 1:26 was the creation of God.
Yes.
Are the unfolding of God. Many times you look at that word creation, you think creation means, and there's a table, there's a something standing right here beside me. No. This table is a creation from a tree that was back in the original creation. That's why the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Anything you see, I don't care if it's this computer or this phone, it comes from the dirt and minerals of this ground.
Yeah.
So this is a creation of God, but now it only developed how many years ago? Maybe 30 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, really. And the iPhone's only like 15 years old, maybe, or 18 years old, something like that. It was always here in the dirt somewhere. You were always here in the dirt somewhere. Your house that you live in was always in the trees and in the plastic and all the other things. But then what did man do? Man created an automobile. Mm-hmm. Automobile was always here. It was just parts laying all over the world. And man, being a miniature god, put all these things together and created an automobile. Well, this is the beginning of the creation of God. Why is this the beginning of the creation of God? Brother Brown said Jesus Christ was the beginning of the creation of God. Why? Because God always wanted to be a man. But what happened in the Garden of Eden, God couldn't become flesh right then. As a baby. Now we're going to talk about Melchizedek this afternoon. That wasn't the Son of Man. That wasn't Jesus Christ in human flesh at that point.
Yeah.
That was God getting just some elements of the earth, putting it over his theophany. But we needed a kinsman. We needed somebody to go back to that Genesis 1:26 and save that man.
Yes.
So we needed God in human flesh, the beginning of the creation of God, to do that. So just think that in your mind. We'll go love Genesis 1:26, and that's where it comes up right here in our teaching. So it's 9:57. Let's go ahead and go upstairs. God bless you.
I'll take that up for you, by the way.
Okay.